Good morning, everybody. It is that time of Sunday, and that's time for our hymn sing. So anybody that has a favorite hymn you'd like to sing, raise your hand. Yes, right here.
Yeah, how about 469? Under four.
Hymn number 469, verses 1 and 4. Let's see, there in the back, Deb. 64, 1 and 4. Let's see, we'll go here up towards the front. Number 62, verses 1 and 5.
62, 1 and 5.
All creatures of our God and King.
Okay.
Yes, David. 369. Any preferred verses?
69.
First and last verses. 369. Good. You're well warmed up for our hymns this morning, and
Thank you.
we'll prepare ourselves for worship.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Beautiful as always. Good morning. Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. And we just rejoice that you're all here to worship with us this morning. Just go through our greetings and announcements. We'll start off just a reminder, there should be some cards there in the pews that you can fill out to show your attendance today, and then just drop those in the basket, should be at one end of the pew or the other. And you can also use that card as for a prayer request if you have those, and those will be handled through the week with those that handle our prayers. And also just a reminder that please join us after worship just across the breezeway in our fellowship hall for some great coffee and goodies and a chance to continue our fellowship and to enjoy the company of each other. And also, this is for our birthdays in July. You can see a list of the folks that are lucky enough to have July birthdays. We have Alita, David, who's here with us today, Tracy Brown, Linda Crabtree, Perry Way, Ruthie Martin Moore, and Young Char. And I think, yep, Young is here. So happy birthday to all of you. We always enjoy being able to celebrate our birthdays for an entire month. So it's always nice to do that. And we also, I think I saw an anniversary that just flashed by. Oh, Austin and Edna, excellent. And great to see, they are here. Do they want to divulge the number or is that to be remain secret? 26? Excellent. well on your way. I'm assuming you know each other pretty well by now. Very good. Okay. And just a reminder that head out on our vacations this summer, don't forget the church as you leave. If you want to prepare your offerings and drop those off at the church, I think I've even heard of people who will continue to, who are so faithful, they will mail their offerings in as they travel on their vacation. So just a reminder to continue your faithful giving if you're headed out on vacation. And as always, we are the cereal church. Please bring in boxes of cereal. You can place them on the pews out in the Narthex Breezeway area. These items are taken to our local assistance group, ICSC, and we also always appreciate your donations to help others who are in need of some assistance. And our next parents' night is coming up, water night. Now that sounds like some fun. So during the heat of the summer, here's an opportunity to come have some water-oriented fun. And that's coming up on July 24th. That's a Friday. And that'll be from 6 p.m. to 8:30. Great chance for those of you who have kids and like a little break from them and go out and have some fun as parents. And the kids can come and get nice and wet, and then you can take them home and dry them off. And let's see, and we want to thanks to Dan Anderson for making great Auntie Pat, there's Pat in the back there, a cowgirl. Vianne and Wren loved it. That's a good look, Pat. I like it. Did the horse come with it? Ah, doggone. Okay. Well, that's a great accomplishment. Okay, I think that's all of our announcements, unless there's anything else. All right, at this time, if you'd please stand as you're able for our call to worship. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in whom I trust.
He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge.
For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
And if you'd please remain standing for our opening hymn, I will sing of my Redeemer. Thank you.
wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse he set me free. Sing, of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross is still my pardon, made the dead and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my loss has taste to save. In his boundless love and mercy, the ransom freely gave. Sing, of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross is still my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power tell, how the victory gives over sin and death and hell. So sing, of my Redeemer, with his blood purchase me. On the cross is sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
At this time, if you'll take a few moments and reach out to your neighbors and pass the peace of Christ. All right, I think Deb is ready to help us pray.
All righty. welcome. You can go on and have more conversation in the fellowship hall, and if you need, you can go out for lunch and continue. You can spend the whole day talking to each other, right? But let's welcome our faithful worshipers, our family and friends online. Good morning to you, Kenny. So glad to see you always. And April and Bill are there with us. Good morning to you. Good morning to Chris and David down in Hemet. Good morning to you. And Cheryl's online today. Good morning to you, Cheryl. And the one on iPad, faithful worshiper. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to start with three things. First of all, this Friday is Parents' Night Out. If you have any kids, we've got a lot of exciting wet things. One of the mothers has said she's going to try and bring her big blow-up water slide. So we're going to have that for the kids, and a pool and sprinklers, and we have squirt guns and a slip and slide, and it's going to be a crazy wet mess. So they'll have a lot of fun, and they will be cool. We have good, healthy, cool snacks, too, so that'll be good. So that's water night. There's flyers in the back if you want to take a picture and send it to somebody, or just take a flyer. There's a few extra ones. This Saturday, our Mary Methodist group is going to Frozen. So if you're going to Frozen, even if you're driving yourself, please sign up and say you're driving, and then we'll know how many seats to save. But we're going to be trying to leave a little early. We're also going to stop at Panera and get food. Our PEO group is having a fundraiser, and 30% of any of the food purchases go to our PEO group, and that's to fund scholarships. Scholarships for Yucaipa High School students that are going to Crafton. So we hope that you can go to Panera. If you take a picture of the flyer, that's enough. You can show them their picture on your phone when you buy it. It's just this Saturday between 4 and 8 at the Yucaipa Panera. So if you can support us in that, that would be wonderful. So we're going to stop there on the way to Frozen and get food and bring it and then save seats and set up an area. If you're interested in bringing a folding chair, like a camp chair, they're a lot more comfortable than sitting on the benches. So we can set up a group like that if you want to do that. So just let me know what you plan on doing and we'll figure out where we can save some seats. That's all I have.
Have a joy or concern, please raise your hand. Deb will come around.
I don't have to tell you all this because you already know prayer works.
Absolutely. Amen.
My sister got out of the hospital last Monday, and on Wednesday she flew from Florida, Fort Myers, to home in D.C., and she has one of her wonderful daughter-in-laws with her, taking care of both she and Tom, my brother-in-law. And last night we had a three-way conversation with the sisters, and it was quite wonderful. She's doing well. Thank you all.
Very nice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
This is a long time coming. I didn't think I could make it through without crying. My name's Dee Dee. I wanted to thank the church for their prayers. My son made it home back in April. He's been with me ever since, and you're absolutely right, prayer works. We're taking it day by day, and he's doing well. He's back to work, and we have referrals in for doctors. That's a little more difficult to get into, but he's been accepting that help. So continued prayers for that. But I'm overwhelmed with joy in God's grace and his angels watching over him to get him safely back into our arms. And joyous prayers because Charles and I have been doing a lot of appointments lately. And we just so happened to be at an appointment at Loma Linda, and they had a wonderful scripture on the wall, Deuteronomy 31:6, And Charles and I talked about that. And then I got home and I said, Jason, do you know this scripture? And he goes, oh, I know it very well. So to know that the Lord is in his heart and he knows that he is watched over is a good, good news. So thank you to this church and our community and my longtime friends for keeping us up in their prayers and heart. And praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hi, my name is Pat Shores. I'm the one that was just gifted a wonderful cowboy hat today. I brought it back to return it, and I was told to keep it. So I'm the lucky one. But that's what I wanted to say is yesterday my sister Allison, who lives here in Yucaipa, she and I see each other usually every weekend. She got a call from one of my nieces who lives up in Northern California, but my oldest sister Karen had gotten up and had passed out or something, fell down. And anyway, the daughter called the ambulance and they took her to the hospital. And as far as I know, she's in the hospital. I don't know if they know what caused her to pass out, but prayers for my sister Karen. She's probably one of the people who went to this church the longest. And she loved this church. She loved to sing, and I don't remember who it was, but someone in the church recognized that she had a very nice voice, knew that my folks couldn't afford to have lessons for her, so somebody in the church paid for her to have voice lessons, and which was nice for her. And anyway, I just want prayers for my sister Karen. That I don't know what's wrong with her, but I hope she gets better.
Thanks, Pat.
And I want to welcome our visitor, Elizabeth, here. I hope you have time to come over to fellowship time and have coffee and snacks with us, because we like to eat.
Okay, at this time, we'll turn to our unison prayer, which you can
just
find.
Just a second. Sorry, I have one ahead. More request. I wanted to just mention, of course, we have a joy. My wife and I's anniversary was Thursday, and we had a wonderful time in Ventura at the beach and stayed at a hotel right there. And the same day, my brother back in Missouri was taken to the emergency room and had to go to the hospital. And they ended up doing emergency surgery on him, and he had a, I don't even know how to describe it, my wife does, it has to do with his small intestines. Part of it had stuck together somehow, and part of it died. And so he was clogged up, and he hasn't ate for almost a month now. So I don't know why he waited so long, but he was hurting really bad. My brother's very stubborn, and wouldn't go to the hospital. So anyway, he did. And so he did have the surgery. It was successful, but he's recovering from that. But just wanted the church to know about it so they can pray for him. My brother, Arthur Barrett, back in Mount Vernon, Missouri. So thank you.
Does anyone on Zoom have something? Raise your hand.
Okay, we'll go ahead and join together in our unison prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, at times harsh realities weaken us, and we struggle to find the strength to speak to you. Our guilt and shame make us feel distant from your grace. Yet you hear our groans and always see us through. And when we face danger, you send your angels to guide us. Even when we are unaware, we never walk alone in this barren land. Thank you for your unwavering presence, which goes before us and beside us through every mile of the journey. In your precious name, amen.
Let us continue our prayers. We have a lot to pray for. We have a lot of people that we love and we care. And we want to lift our prayers for them too. We want to pray for our church continually, not only our church, but churches of Christ everywhere, and we want to pray for revival. We want to pray for this nation. We want to pray for our troops involved in many maneuvers and activities. We want God's power and presence to be revealed to so many who still need to be touched by Him. So let us continue our prayers in silence. Dear Lord Jesus, we have come to this place of worship again with anticipation that we will be empowered by your Holy Spirit, that we will get to refresh our spiritual energy and strength through worship. We are in need of you always. We are in need of being in connection with you and with your Holy Spirit, for we are weak and we face many problems and challenges upon our journey always. We try to fight this lifelong battle on our own, but, oh Lord, we have experienced over and over our strength is not enough. Only with you and with your strength we can engage in this lifelong battle and we can win. So, Lord, we have come to this place of worship to recognize all the great things that you have done for us, for this church, for our communities, for this nation and the world. And we have also come to lift up our prayers. We are always in need of lifting our prayers unto you. We see so many people suffering, the people in our life circle and people in the world, and we still have a lot of issues we are dealing with. And we constantly need you and need your help. So we come and seek your help today. So, Lord, we pray that we will receive the blessing through your Holy Spirit, through your word, spoken and written, that we may be encouraged, that we may be touched by your Holy Spirit, that we may be even healed. For there's nothing that you cannot do. Everything is possible for those who believe in you, in your power. All we have to do is to reach out our hands unto you and touch you, because you are the one who has the power to solve our problems, to make our life whole. So we lift our prayers for ourselves, for our loved ones, and we pray that you give us the faith so that we, instead of dealing all the troubles by ourselves, we can give them unto you and trust that you take the burden gladly from us and make our burdens light. So, Lord, may we experience the joy of living in worshiping you, because we will be reminded of the very fact, the fact that no one can deny that you are with us. You even send your angels to guard our steps and protect us. So we recognize you, your power, your will in our lives, and we yield to you. And we recommit ourselves to follow you wherever you lead, to glorify you in all we do. So we now join our hearts in prayer, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's story is The Good Shepherd and the Stubborn Sheep, a story of God's redemptive love, written and illustrated by Hannah E. Harrison. Hello, I'm George. I'm just your average grass-grazing sheep. I'm really not that different from all the other sheep in the flock. We've all got frizzy hairdos. We all have a terrible sense of direction, especially Mabel. And we're all completely defenseless. We can't growl or roar. Instead of claws, we've got dainty little hooves. Not scary. We don't even have any top teeth. Nothing there. Our favorite pastime is nervously running around in a clump. Bee! Twitchy squirrel! Rushing water! And get this, if we fall on our backs, we can't even get ourselves up again. We just have to lie there, stuck with our skinny legs flailing about. It's embarrassing, to say the least. That's why we need a shepherd. He cares for us and watches over us. But there was this one time when the shepherd wanted to give me a haircut. Only I liked my wool the way it was. In fact, I thought it looked pretty good. So I ran away. And I hid. Did you know that sheep's wool just keeps growing and growing and growing? Well, I didn't. And without a haircut, my wool got so bushy I could hardly see where I was going. It was heavy, too. It'd become a real problem. There were twigs all in it and mud and other things I don't care to mention. I smelled and looked like moldy cheese. Not really the look I was going for. So I thought I should go back to the shepherd. Only I didn't know the way. I was lost. And then the inevitable happened. I, with my ridiculous hair, got stuck in a thorn bush. That's when I heard a low, menacing growl. It was a wolf! I tried to bare my teeth, but I didn't have any. I tried to roar, but all that came out was a little baa. I closed my eyes and frantically kicked my tiny hooves until I broke free from the brambles, but I fell onto my back. The wolf snarled, so I flailed my legs with all my might, which started me rolling and bouncing down the hill and into a pond. Did I mention that sheep can't swim? I bleated and bobbed and gasped for air, but it was no use. I was a goner. But then, out of the darkness, I saw a wonderful light. It was the shepherd. He'd come for me. And the shepherd threw his rod, one shot, and struck the wolf. The wolf yelped, tucked tail, and ran. The shepherd used his staff to fish me out of the muddy water. "Come here, George," he said. "I've got you." He put me under his warm vest and said, "All is well now." I couldn't believe it. I hadn't listened. I'd run away, and still he rescued me. Me, a helpless lost sheep covered in muck. I'd never been so happy or so grateful. He put me on his shoulders and carried me home. Now when the shepherd wants to give me a haircut, I'm glad about it. He knows what needs trimming and when. He feeds me and guides me. He gives me rest and restores me. With him, I have nothing to fear. He is the good shepherd.
He is my shepherd, and I'll follow him all of my days. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And from Hebrews 13:5. Be content with what you have, for God himself has said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. So may we trust and obey God in all things. Amen.
It's time for our next hymn, which is I Need Thee Every Hour. Scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Genesis, chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "I will so greatly multiply your offspring that they cannot be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Now you have conceived and shall bear a son. You shall call him Ishmael, for the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He shall be a wild ass of a man, with his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he shall live at odds with all his kin." So she named the Lord who spoke to her, You are El Roi. For she said, "Have I really seen God and remained alive after seeing him?" Therefore the well was called Bir Lahai Roi. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. So glad that you have come to worship with us this morning. And I welcome all of you on Zoom worshiping with us as well. A man decided to spend the day hiking in the mountains, enjoying the fresh air and beautiful scenery. As he stepped across a narrow creek, he suddenly felt a gust of wind brush against his cheek. Instinctively, he jumped backward. A split second later, a huge boulder came crashing down the hillside, missing him by only inches. Shaken, he caught his breath. Then he heard a voice, "I saved you." He looked around, but there was no one there. Thinking his imagination was getting the better of him, he continued hiking. Later that afternoon, he reached down and studied across a busy intersection as the walk signal turned green. Suddenly, something yanked him backward. Before he could regain his balance, a speeding truck ran the red light and plowed through the intersection. Once again, the mysterious voice said, "I saved you again." Now, thoroughly bewildered, the man looked up and asked, "Who's there?" The voice answered, "I am your guardian angel. You've never seen me, but I've been watching over you all your life." The man stood silently for a moment, overwhelmed with gratitude. Then his expression changed, and he yelled, "Well, where the heck were you when I got married?" Not every Christian believes in angels, partly because of the way the angels operate. They are invisible, and we are unaware of their activity. Often this unawareness leads us to dismiss their works in our lives as coincidence. However, the scripture clearly speaks of their existence and involvement in the lives of believers. Guardian angels may not be a typical focus of our study, and we do not pay attention to who they are or what they do. Hagar was like us in this regard, and we would be surprised when an angel appeared visibly as Hagar was. Let us look at Hagar's social standing, which undoubtedly shaped her cultural values, personality, and faith. She was an Egyptian. Abram was 75 years old when God told him to leave Haran for Canaan. Shortly after arriving in Canaan, a severe famine forced Abraham to go to Egypt. There, Pharaoh treated Abraham and Sarah well because he thought Sarah, who was beautiful, was Abraham's sister. And Pharaoh gave them male and female servants. And Hagar was likely one of the female servants. Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael, through Hagar, was born. So calculate those years. It had just been a decade since God called Abraham until Ishmael's birth. Abram was still relatively new to the faith in God. And now Hagar would have lived with Abram and Sarah for less than 10 years and would likely not have had faith in God, or if she did, only a little faith. Her hostile attitude towards Sarah after she became pregnant with Ishmael implies that. Hagar was a slave, bound for life to Abram and Sarah. Being a slave was her fate, and her status would never change. However, Hagar thought she could do it and tried. And there's a big theological implication in Hagar's trial and, you know, her way of treating Sarah and all that after she gave birth to Ishmael. She was young and able to bear a child while Sarah was not. Ishmael had great physical features the word of the angel that he would be a wild ass of a man suggests that. Yet the bloodline did not go through Ishmael, despite he was the firstborn with a physical advantage, but through the son of promise. In Galatians 4, Paul speaks of an allegory of Hagar and Sarah representing two covenants. Hagar represents the covenant from Mount Sinai, and Sarah the covenant from the Jerusalem above, Jerusalem in heaven. The commandment from Mount Sinai, that is Moses' commandment, convict people of their sin and never free them from sin, no matter how hard they try. And see this parallels with Hagar's efforts to try her own good and her own righteousness and try to change the social standing from a slave girl to a legitimate wife of Abraham. But God in heaven sent his son of promise to set people free through grace. And that's the principle of salvation. We can never be free by our own effort or righteousness, but only by God's grace. Hagar tried to change her social standing by giving Abraham first child through surrogacy. In ancient societies, a woman's inability to conceive was a social stigma. So surrogates were often used to compensate. And believe it or not, you know, these still are being practiced even today. After Hagar became pregnant, she began to mistreat her mistress and acted as if she were superior to Sarah. If Hagar had faith in God, she would have shown compassion toward Sarah instead. This sudden shift in Hagar's attitude also reflects a common psychological coping mechanism for dealing with vulnerability. It has little to do with genuine self-confidence. Hagar's attitude revealed the low self-esteem she had lived with as a slave girl and a twisted, ungodly mindset. Later on, Jacob, Abraham's grandson, had four wives. Even though there were some tensions among them, they were not as severe as the conflict Hagar created. Hagar is a model for achieving self-righteousness through human efforts. And, you know, we know that the genealogy of the Messiah went through Isaac instead of Ishmael, even though Ishmael had a physical advantage. He was the firstborn. That whole thing speaks of the covenant that God made. It wasn't by the human efforts, but by God's grace that we received salvation. A very, very profound theological implication in this story. Now, just focus on Hagar's background and Hagar, how Hagar treated Sarah and how she reacted to the whole situation. It just whole background of Hagar suggests that she didn't have faith in God and never expected that God would know her and care for her. But what happened to Hagar when she ran from home? An angel of God appeared and promised blessing to Ishmael. And she responded to the angel, "You are El Roy." We know El is God. Roy means you see me. One little tiny bit of a Hebrew lesson. When it ends with an E, that means me. So Roy means see me. You see me. El, God, Roy, you see me. You are the God who sees me. That's what it means. That's the name that Hagar gave. And again, that has a lot of a theological implication in it. You are the God who sees me. Hagar's response to the angel reveals much about her and her understanding of God. And I would paraphrase El Roi, because it has so much, she actually implies so many things in that brief naming God. It goes like this: "Wow, God, what a surprise. I did not believe it, you. So I had to defend and protect myself. I never you would keep your eyes on me. Now you know my story from start to finish." That's all that is included in that naming God. "Then she returned home and gave birth to Ishmael. When Isaac was born, Hagar and Ishmael moved out of the house. Again, an angel of the Lord appeared," that's the second time, "and reaffirmed the blessing that Hagar initially received." So it seems that Hagar had a little faith in God, and yet the angel appeared. So the angel's appearance to her was completely unexpected. And think about it. It wasn't just Hagar. Even the believers would react in a similar way. You know, Bible speak of many stories. And when those believers encounter the angel, their reaction was a surprise. How about us? An average person like us would not react any differently from Hagar. But our disbelief in angels would not change their existence. What does the Bible say about angels? The Bible mentions angels about 300 different times, and we know two specific angels, and they are Michael and Gabriel. Michael is described as a chief prince several times in the book of Daniel. And the epistle of Jude identifies Michael as the archangel and says that he disputed with the devil over the dead body of Moses. Gabriel appeared to Daniel and helped him interpret the vision of a ram and a goat in Daniel chapter 8. Gabriel appeared again to Mary and announced that she was the chosen one to bear the Son of God. So there are presence of angels and stories of angels all throughout the Bible. The number of the angels is countless. In Hebrews 12:22 says, "You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering." Revelation 5:11 says, "The angels numbered myriads of myriad and thousands of thousands." What do countless angels do? Jesus gave an answer in Matthew 18:10. He said, take care that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, in heaven, their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven." Jesus recognized that children have angels. Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are not all angels spirits in the divine service sent to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" This means those who are saved have angels to serve them. Now, this is important. Angels are not object of worship, but only God is. They are the servant to serve people like us, those who are in Christ. The Bible is very clear about the existence of guardian angels for believers. Yet not all believers believe in angels because they can't see them. It is like Elijah's servant who could not see God's army when the Arameans attacked Israel. Elisha told him, "There are more with us than there are with them." Elisha asked God to open the servant's eyes. Then the servant saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, have you read this newspaper article? This is an actual event that happened that was recorded and was reported in many newspapers. And I got this article from CatholicStand.com, and it's an article about actual encounter with the angels. On July 12, 1984, and excuse my naming these Soviet astronauts, Oleg Atkov, Vladimir Solovyov, and Leonid Kizim were on Soviet space station Salyut 7. They were in their fifth month of orbiting the Earth. Suddenly, they found a bright orange light all around them. They hurriedly looked out of the window. Outside, they saw seven large, insubstantial shapes, which looked like angels with smiling faces, wings, and halos. The angels kept pace with the orbiting space station for around 10 minutes before fading and disappearing. 12 days later, the incident was repeated. This time, Soyuz T-12 had just docked with cosmonaut Svetlana Savitskaya, Igor Volk, and Vladimir Dzhanibekov on board. All six cosmonauts were reported as witnessing the phenomena. There are alleged records of conversation with ground control about the incidents and debriefing documents. But apparently, the Soviet government classified all information relating to the incident, and no one named in the incident had been prepared to talk about it. The story was leaked, partially leaked at the end of 1985 and appeared in several Western newspapers of that time. And think about it, if the Soviet Union was trying to hide something, it's gotta be true. According to the Bible, there is no question about the existence of angels. The only doubt we have is whether God has sent us on guardian angels. And if you'd like to hear, I think I have an angel who make fun of me all the time. Because, you know, I like to joke around all the time. Maybe the joke idea I have is from him. I've never seen him, though. If we doubt it, just think about how God, our Heavenly Father, and the Son, Jesus, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit love us and take care of us. The primary means of God's love and care for us is His presence with us. God said, "Never will I leave you nor forsake you." Jesus shared the same nature as God's. He is Emmanuel. Jesus has promised to be with us through the Holy Spirit, who is our faithful companion on our journey. We do not question God's presence with us, even though it is not necessarily visible to our naked eyes. Angels of God may not be visible to us either, but God has sent them to guard us, protect us from danger, and guide us to the right places where God wants us to be. All in all, God is with us. Amen.
At this time, we'll have an opportunity to present our tithes and offering. If you brought your, just a reminder, if you brought your offering today, you may leave it at the plates at the back of the church, or you may mail them into the office or bring by the office. So thank you, as always, for your continued support of the church. And at this time, we'll have a musical offering from Austin.
to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, close to thee, close to thee. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee.
Lord Jesus, this is our expression of love, our thanksgiving, our praise. For you have loved us and provided for us and blessed us, O Lord. So we give you this humble recognition to bless you and love you. We ask you to receive it, bless it for your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
And please remain standing for our closing hymn, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight, angels descending. begging, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, You have manifested Your presence, Your love with us and for us over and over. We experience You all throughout our life journey because, Lord, without You, we have not been able to come this far. Only with You and with Your blessing, we have made this far. So this is our humble confession, O Lord, that You are with us. And You even send Your angels to guide and protect us. So what all that You have done, O Lord, we thank You. And we commit ourselves to love You and serve You in all the days of our lives. So for us to be able to love You back, empower us. Give us the wisdom and discernment so that all we do, we may focus on You and we may be able to the very mission that You have given unto us to carry on. So with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, O Lord Jesus, and with the conviction of Your presence in our lives, send us forth in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know He will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there watching from above. Go now in love.